Let's have a look at 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. No, not 1 Corinthians 13. I don't know what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians 12. And we're reading verses 1 to 11. Oh, I'll get there eventually. I can blame it on the heat and not sleeping enough or something. Oh, it's caught up with me. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works in all of them, in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Over the last couple of weeks, I've just been struck by the number of times I see the word all coming up, not necessarily explicitly mentioned, although I think it might be there, I don't know, but implied. And so a couple of weeks ago, I talked about how... I can't remember what I talked about a couple of weeks ago. It was there on the tip of my tongue. But last week we talked about healing and baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was probably about salvation the week before that, and how God wants everybody saved, and how the whole idea of salvation is really straightforward and easy to step into. And last week I talked about baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the same thing. God wants the fullness of the Holy Spirit in all of our lives, and it's easy. We talked about Acts chapter 8 last week, and it was just one prayer, got all those guys filled with the Holy Spirit. And we also talked about healing last week, and how, you know, the gift of healing, if you want to talk about that, is something that should be there for all of us, and we should expect that when we call upon the name of the Lord, he will heal everyone who needs healing. And all kinds of healings are summed up in that too. Physical healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing, whatever you want to put into. God wants to heal everyone, and he wants to offer all kinds of healing so that we're complete and whole people. And the foundation of all that is in the proclamation of the gospel. Jesus came into the world to set us free from the power of sin. Now, today I want to talk about the fact that all of those gifts of the Spirit that we read about in 1 Corinthians 12 are available to all of us. He doesn't use the word all there, he talks about each, but it's the same idea. In verse 7, each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So the idea is we sometimes get this stuff about spiritual gifts really, really confused. And one of the things about this chapter in particular is that he's not talking about gifts in the sense of if I give Chrissy that gift, she gets to keep it and it's hers to do with as she wishes, but rather in this context he's talking about the Holy Spirit is given to us in order for us to be equipped to minister to others and to glorify the name of Jesus. And so, and that's, it's a gift in the sense that we don't have to pay anything for it, but it's not a gift in the sense that we get one of those things that he goes on to talk about and then we get to, you know, that's our thing. So it's really important that we understand that. what he's talking about here is that the manifestation of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is revealed and shown to us in different ways. And he's not saying that, you know, Margaret always gets the word of knowledge and Kerry always gets the miracles and Chrissy always gets the healing. What he's saying is that as these things are needed, the Holy Spirit manifests or reveals himself to us. And so in an example might be, okay, today I might have a gift of healing that's necessary tomorrow, and Margaret might have a word of knowledge that shows us what healing is required. But tomorrow, in an entirely different situation, Margaret might have a prophecy and I might have a word of wisdom or something, and somebody else there that's with us at the time might have the faith for something that needs to happen. In other words, these gifts are sort of, or these things are meant to be seen as whatever the need is, God will use to meet the need at the time. So, and of course, he always, as Paul always does, when he's talking about spiritual gifts, spiritual abilities, whatever, he puts it in the context of the body. So the body of Christ, together, achieves what needs to be done. So the limitation is this, it's us. God is wanting to do those things, you know. We talked about last week about healing, and that's just one subset of this whole thing, but God wants to use you and me to bring healing to other people. And the blockage is usually us, whether it's lack of faith or fear or unbelief, or we don't believe that God could use me to do that, or I don't believe that God wants to do that, or we just don't realise there's an opportunity. The blockage is always us. God is wanting to do far more in our lives and far more through us than we realise. And almost every conversation, every interaction that we have is an opportunity to show the grace of God. But because we don't think that we're worthy of doing that, or we don't think that God can use us, or whatever it is, we miss the opportunities. And so so let me say this again. This is another example of all. To each one, Paul says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. That means to me. That means to you. And wherever we gather with Christians and non-Christians alike, there's an opportunity for Jesus, for the Holy Spirit to be manifest in the name of Jesus, to be lifted high. And what we need to be doing, what we need to be seeing, is that God can use us for his purposes. Okay, there's 4 key things I just want to mention briefly. Firstly, we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit last time. And it's that experience of the fullness of the Holy Spirit that acts as a catalyst for these manifestation gifts to be revealed. It's an empowering, a filling, a release, whatever you want to call it. But being filled with the Holy Spirit is vital. Secondly, we need to listen. And I think this is where a lot of us fall down. God's speaking to us all the time, you know. Go and speak to so-and-so. Go and do this. Go and do that. And we're sort of saying, oh, it's just, you know, just me voices again, or it's just my imagination, or, you know, we've got God completely tuned out so we don't even hear. We need to listen to the voice of God, and we need to not just listen to God on Sunday mornings or in our quiet times, which, I mean, those things are important, but we need to learn to listen to God every moment of the day so that we're walking in constant communion with God and listening to what he's telling us to do. And when you look through, for example, the book of Acts, it should still be the standard, the norm, that we're constantly ready to listen to God. And so, for example, one example that springs to mind there is, was it Acts 8? Where Philip, I think it was after the bit we talked about last time. Is it where God tells him to go? Yeah. Verse 26. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, go to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Actually, it can be translated, go out at noon down the road, which isn't important, but he was just ready to listen to whatever God had to say to him. And as a result of that, you know, he meets up with that Ethiopian eunuch, shares the gospel with him. And but if Philip was like most of us, he'd say, first of all, he'd say, oh, no, I'm just imagining this. Secondly, God wouldn't want to take me away from my successful ministry here in Samaria. It couldn't possibly be from God. Why would God want me to go down the desert road? And Philip, and, you know, and the eunuch would have got all the way to where he was going to and not heard the gospel. We need to learn to listen. Whatever form the Holy Spirit's speaking to us, we need to learn to be sensitive to the voice of God. The third thing is we need to learn to obey God. So if God tells us to do stuff, we go off and do it. Don't argue the toss. Don't argue, does it make sense? Just go and do it. You know, God might be calling you to, I don't know, go and preach the gospel somewhere. And that's something that might be scary. I don't know. He might be calling you to go and start a healing ministry. And that might be scary. But we do those. We listen to God and we obey him and we take baby steps often of faith and just do little thing, one thing at a time. And God leads us into something bigger. But we've got to learn to obey. And we need to give it a go, even if we're not sure that we've heard God. Just give it a go and trust him for what happens. And finally, we need to pursue God with all that we are and all that we've got. And just like Kerry said, you know, just do it. Don't just make a New Year's resolution. This year I'm going to, you know, spend more time listening to God. Or this year I'm going to share my faith with so-and-so. Or this year, just get on and do it. And make the number one priority in our life pursuing God, reading the Word, praying, listening to God, and doing the things he calls us to do, regardless of the cost. And when we do that, we find that God can do remarkable things with us. Gosh, you might find he sends you to India for a two-week mission. Or, you know, you might find that you've got this huge healing ministry and people that are incurably sick become healed when you pray. You might find that you have the ability to share the gospel with people and it makes sense to them, and hundreds of people are getting saved through your words. Or you might find that whatever. But the key to it is pursuing God. So we need to learn to listen to God, we need to obey him, and we need to pursue him with all that we've got. And don't be afraid of these gifts of the Spirit. Don't be afraid to just step out and take a risk. And, you know, the most amazing things happen at times. You might just get this vague idea that God wants you to say to somebody, you know, God loves you. And you just take a little step of faith and you find out that's the very thing that they need to hear. That's happened to me on more than one occasion. And just with the most remarkable results. Or, you know, you might have to say to somebody, God might say to you, look, go and tell them, da-di-da-di-da, whatever it is. And it's the very thing they need to hear at that time. But if you don't tell them, they don't ever get to hear it. So it's taking baby steps of faith, just learning to trust God and operate in those gifts of the Spirit, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, mental block, faith, miracles, healing, discernment of spirit, speaking in tongues, and there was one other. Doesn't matter. Interpretation of tongues. Just learning to walk in those gifts of the Spirit and letting God use us. That's what it's all about, you know? Simple version. Let God use you. Let God speak through you. And take the risk that what he's telling you really is God. Father, I just thank you that you've poured out your Spirit. As it says in Acts chapter 2, you've poured out your Spirit on all flesh. Young men, old men, young women, old women, children. Lord, everyone is valid. Everyone's eligible to receive the Holy Spirit, Lord. And so, Father, I just pray that you would write that in our hearts, Lord. Convince us of the fact that you've given us your Spirit and that you want to work in us and you want to work through us, Lord. give us the confidence to take those little steps of faith, to trust, Lord, that when we hear you, we really are hearing you and not just making things up, Lord. Give us the boldness to step out in faith and to obey you and to pursue you, Lord, and to hear you and to do those things that you're asking us to do. Lord, I pray you'd help us to take baby steps at first, and as we grow in confidence, to take bigger steps. Lord, forgive us for believing that you can't use us. Lord, forgive us for believing that these things are for other people. Lord, forgive us for our unbelief and lack of faith. And Lord, give us the trust in you to do the stuff you ask us to do. Amen.